Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Kathy Jackson, one of my favorite co-hosts, and we are our theme over the last few shows have been getting your life in order. And we're to the point now where she's just discovered she has a broken back at the age of 48. She has a broken back and she's been pushing herself to do so many things with her back broke. Now take us from that. In fact, even as I reflect, I was away on, you know, on a trip getting interviews for this show. And I remember that first text. I have a broken back. I couldn't believe it because with a broken back, you know, that's the whole core of your body.
Yeah, I was actually kind of proud of the fact that, I mean, proud's kind of a wrong word, but you know, it was kind of funny. Here I had been doing all of this and teaching piano lessons and teaching bells mm-hmm. and doing performances and, mm-hmm. You know, up there directing my choirs and going on a 7,600-mile road trip.
And how providential, because with the particular break you had, it already was compressing the spinal cord, but it could have at any point, it could have totally put you into complete paralysis.
Yes. She said that the fracture itself was a 40% compression fracture, but it was pushing up against that spinal cord and it was very narrow. I mean, you could see the pictures mm-hmm. of that cord. And once they solidified the compression, that would pull it off of the spinal cord.
Mm-hmm.
That was why I didn't have the ability to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't feel weak. I just couldn't do it. I mean,
yeah.
There was just nothing there and I didn't know why. And here it was because I had a compressed spinal cord mm-hmm. and a compression fracture.
Now, was it at that point that they even marveled that you'd been able to walk in?
Oh, yeah. They were like, this is crazy.
You walked in here?
And the thing of it is, when they took me, they came and got me from that hospital bed that I was enjoying sitting on so much in the emergency room. And they took me out to the hallway where we had to stand and look at the pictures because that's mm. where their x-ray table was. I mean, it was a mm. small hospital. And so my husband and I are standing there and I've got my arms wrapped around his shoulders holding myself up because I cannot stand. And I don't want anybody to know that it hurt that bad
wow.
though. So we stood there while she talked. She was just the friendliest doctor and she was so caring and just could not believe what I had been going through, and there was no need to be going through
mm-hmm.
that, you know, all this time. And it was really my stubborn attitude. So getting home and relaxing and thinking, you know, what an idiot that I hadn't gotten this taken care of just because I didn't want to go to the doctor. But I had gone once, you know, so
yeah.
But I was happy because this was going to be taken care of and I was finally going to be pain free. My husband was thrilled, and he, again, was just shaking his head, going, I cannot believe that you went through all that. And so I went to the MRI. I got the MRI done. I did not like that experience at all. Being in that tube, closed on both ends, and the top of the tube was like 2 inches from my nose. I was not impressed. I opened my eyes one time and went, oh, okay, we're not doing that. And they asked me what kind of music I wanted, and I picked gospel. And I knew that every song was an average of 3 minutes, and they said about a half hour. So I started counting the songs. And in the middle of the 10th mm. song, they opened the end of the tube and pulled me back out. I was, woo, that was good. And then I went on home, and I got my copy, but I didn't know how to read it or anything, so I didn't even bother looking at it. It's just, I didn't even know I could look at it. I just had the copy that I was supposed to take in to my appointment in a couple of days to get the spine doctor to take a look and see exactly where they needed to inject that cement and be done with it. So I went home, And I was relaxing, and I think it was the same day, the phone rang. It was a number I didn't recognize, and I don't know even why I felt a sense of foreboding. I answered the phone, and it was my emergency room doctor calling me from her home. She said, "Kathy, this is Dr. I don't even remember her name. I don't want to say it anyway. I just got your results from the MRI. The radiologist had actually called her at her home and said, somebody needs to call this woman. And she said, the results from your MRI show that you have metastatic lesions all over your spine. And she says, this means you have some form of bone cancer. I'm so sorry, but you need to find an oncologist. This was totally unexpected. Have a good day."
Wow, what a load to bear.
I started bawling, just sobbing. And my husband was sitting at his desk, and I looked at me. He goes, "What's going on?" And I said, "I have cancer." Now I am going to cry.
Me too.
"I have cancer. I'm going to die." And he said, "But you can't. You can't die." And we just didn't know what to think. I called you.
Well, you tested me first.
Because
she
couldn't talk.
She texted me. She goes, "The results, the text was, I'm devastated." I remember looking at that word. I'm devastated. Now, anybody who knows Kathy never is devastated. Kathy has never been devastated. She's gone through horrible experiences, but I've never heard her use the word devastated. She's never been devastated. She's been sorrowful. She's been sad. Devastated. What did that mean? That also created me a sense of foreboding.
Well, I couldn't talk on the phone, you know, because I couldn't talk at that point. So I told you, you know, that I had cancer. And then I texted our brothers and told them. And then I had to go in and tell our dad. I remember standing behind his chair, and he didn't even turn around. You know, he had this tendency. He has a mirror, and he could look in the mirror and see me. So he's looking in the mirror at me, and I'm like, "Dad, I have cancer." You could see his shoulders slump, you know. Yeah. And he's like, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yeah, that's what the doctor just called and told me. I have bone cancer." And he said, "Well, maybe it could be something else." And so we started searching for what else it might be. And I know you, Rose, started looking into, you know, the malaria that we had had as children when we lived in Africa. Maybe the mold that we had been exposed to in the house that I lived in. My dad started looking for what could cause bone lesions. And meanwhile, I went and found an oncologist because I had to do something.
Well, absolutely. And I think that initial shock, I know I was back. You still hadn't told the girls yet. You told Nina that morning, and I brought over a book. When I was at the ICRS, this little lady had come, and she self-published a little book that she had done for children, and showing all the machines and stuff that she was used on her. And I gave you that book to try to help you with, how were you going to tell Katie? How were you going to tell Katie?
I know when I told Angelina, she was 15. She immediately started crying, and she never cries. She's my little solid rock, you know. And she said, "What are we going to do?" And I said, "I don't know at this point, but until there's a reason for you to be worried, I want you to not be worried." And, you know, she's so literal.
Yeah,
that
if mom tells me to do something, I'll do it.
She just went on with her schooling, got straight A's, did everything she was supposed to. But the rest of that summer, she did have a hard time. She couldn't sleep at night and stuff. But Katie, she had just turned 9. I didn't know how I was going to tell her. And I kept putting it off, but I knew that eventually, you know, the family was talking about it all the time. So I called her in, and I said, "Katie, mommy has cancer." And she just, fear just, you know, came out her eyeballs. And she looked at me and she says, "Are you going to die?" And I said, "I don't plan on it." "What do you say?" "Yeah, I'm going to die, or yeah, I might die, or I, you know." I didn't want to lie to her and say, no, I'm not going to, because I honestly thought I was going to. Mm-hmm. But I said, I'm not planning on it. And you know, her little heart was broken and she just sobbed. But again, I told her, we're going to pray and we're going to see what God can do. And that's how she left. And, you know, she went on that school year too to just do fabulous. And then we had gotten an oncologist, so we went to our first appointment. And he was a very nice, nice man. But he said, this looks really serious, and we need to get you a PET scan, because this is only an MRI of your spine. And it just shows your spine. And so if the pictures just showed my spine, then he really wanted to see the rest of my skeletal system to see if there was anything else going on. And so from there, I went and had my first PET scan.
Well, we have to take a break right here, but when we come back, of course, you've left us with a little cliffhanger here. We'll find out the results of your PET scan. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion, and I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry, and I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support, so take a moment right now to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us 301-824-3162 or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland 21783.
Welcome back. I'm talking with Kathy, and our theme is getting your life in order, and she's just discovered that she has cancer, and it's already impacted the skeletal, your bones.
Right, and so we were at the time thinking it was bone cancer, which is not a good thing, but that would have been where it started, so that would be the primary cancer. But the oncologist said, you know, I don't think it's bone cancer. I think it's metastasized from another cancer, which we don't know what it is, which is worse. So anyway, they did the first PET scan. When the results came back, I had cancer in my skull, my neck, every vertebrae, every rib, both shoulder blades, both collarbones, both arms, both legs, both hips. The hip was on the verge of a breakage. They were very concerned about my hip breaking because it was on the ball joint. Mm. And they said if that broke, I would be completely bedridden and they couldn't do surgery anytime soon because I was in pretty rough shape. So when they looked at that PET scan, he said, you need to be admitted into the hospital because we have got to do a lot of tests to find out what exactly is going on. And my biggest fear immediately was they want me to go to the hospital and I'm never going to come home. It just chewed on me, and they wanted me to go the next day. And finally, I asked my husband, please call the doctor and ask him if I'm going to come home. And he's like, I don't want to call the doctor and ask him if you're going to come home. It's not even the same doctor. It's the one on call. And I was like, I don't care. I have to know if I'm going to come home. I have to know if I need to tell my girls goodbye. Yeah. And so he did. He called the doctor, and his doctor, who'd never seen me, never seen my case. And my husband says, you know, the doctor told her today that she needs to go into the hospital in the morning, and she's afraid she's never going to come home. And he's like, of course she's going to come home. Well, he didn't know, but he was very reassuring at the time, and that's just what I needed to hear. So we went to the hospital. It was on a Friday, and they sat me in the emergency room, and I sat there and sat there and sat there. And then finally the doctors came and started asking questions. Are you weak? Does your hip hurt? Do you have weakness? And, you know, I had felt this way for so long that I was like, no, nothing's different. I have a little bit of pain, but I'm not weak. So they were like, wow, well, we can't figure it out, so you need to go home. So they sent me home and said, come back tomorrow, because the doctor wanted me to be
symptomatic.
Well, I had to get, what's the word?
To get insurance.
To get put into the hospital.
Oh, admitted?
Thank you. Okay. The doctor wanted me to go through the emergency room in order to get admitted because of my symptoms. But I was answering all the questions wrong. I didn't know that. And so Saturday we went back to the emergency room and we sat there. And then the doctors came and they put me in a room and they took my blood. And you know, the blood markers, the cancer markers, they kept coming back normal. So they didn't know where the cancer was coming from. There was nothing wrong with my blood. And so they asked me all these questions, you know, do you have weakness? Do you have pain? No. You know, I look back on it now and it's hilarious, but I just, in my mind, they were asking me if there was new things, yes. And there was nothing new. And so they said, you know, here's the deal. If we put you in the hospital for observation and you're in for observation more than a few hours, then your insurance won't cover it and you will have huge bills. So you need to go back home and come back tomorrow, because on Sunday, if you're admitted for observation Sunday night, then by Monday morning, they can do tests because it's the week again and everybody will be there because they're not here on the weekend to do these tests. So come back tomorrow. So on Sunday afternoon, late in the afternoon, we went back and they asked me all the same questions and I answered them all the same way. No, there's nothing new. And they admitted me for observation. And Monday morning, I became a full-blown cancer patient.
Wow.
They immediately took me for surgery for lymph nodes to check out the lymph nodes. They said they're only going to take one out. And when I woke up, they had taken two out because two of them were, one was the size of a walnut and one was the size of a grape. And they were obviously cancerous. So they took those two out and they sent them for testing because that would then give them a clear idea of where this cancer was coming from. They had done a mammogram. They couldn't find anything. They just, and then there were no markers that came back.
In the PET scan.
In the PET scan or the blood work, giving them definitive answers. The PET scan, they could see that it was all over the bones, but that's all they knew. And so the markers came, the tests came back from the lymph nodes as breast cancer. So they did another mammogram after that and found it. The lump was maybe the size of a pea.
Wow.
And then they came and got me one day and said, you're going to start radiation. I said, why? And they said, because your hip is going to break. Your back is broken and there's another spot on your back that looks like it's going to break.
So when you had that feeling that everything was
collapsing,
it really was.
And you know, way back, probably 9 months earlier, I had said to my husband, I feel fragile. I don't look fragile, but I feel fragile. And now I know why. You know, it hurt my ankles to walk on the uneven grass in the backyard, all those sorts of things that you don't, you know, I just felt fragile.
And you're really facing two things here. Not only the disease that is killing you, but you're facing fear. And fear is something that is as devastating as the disease itself. The word cancer is very shocking. And I know that the whole family was responding in a pretty strong way. Your brothers were, you know, doing research. Your nieces and nephews. Everyone was rallying around your church, you know, bringing you food and trying to support you and very fearful for you. At what point did you make that decision that there weren't going to be any dry bones around here?
Well, you know, I started the radiation there while I was in the hospital. They actually took me on July 4. It was closed. And they were so concerned that they opened up. The doctor came in from home, called in one of her technicians from home, and they came and opened the clinic. They drove me across the parking lot in an ambulance and took me in, and it took like 2.5 hours to get all the measurements, and it was horrible. Those flat, cold, hard metal tables were just a nemesis to me, and it was excruciating. The actual radiation didn't take any time at all, but the beginning of it was really bad. Went home, then they let me go home then. After that, I had a surgery to take the lump out, and during the radiation, the upper part of my back that they were radiating affected my throat until I could no longer swallow. I mean, it took a lot of work to swallow.
Now, at what point did you know that this was just palliative care?
I didn't know that yet.
Okay.
They told me that the radiation, they were going to do 10 radiations. And I was like, wow, 10 radiations. Oh, my goodness. And it was miserable because I got burns on my back and I couldn't swallow and it made me so tired. And then I was reading because I was constantly researching. That's all I could do. I was stuck in my bed all the time. And I was researching and found that most people had 30 to 70 radiations. And I'm like, wow, I must not be that bad. I'm only having 10. And then the doctor said he wanted to do chemotherapy. You, at that point, were going to the beach. And you had been dragging me back and forth every day to radiation. And then you were leaving to the beach. You guys all asked us to come to the beach. And it meant that you had to give up beds. You and your husband slept on the floor. Everybody gave up beds for us to come to the beach. And we loaded up with our family and dad and one of our nieces and nephew. And we drove 6.5 hours down to the beach. And we stayed there for just 2 days. And in those 2 days, I was using a cane by then. And I started throwing up blood.
Yes. Mm.
And I actually called my friend, she's a nurse, and said, do I have to go to the emergency room? Because you see, this fear of getting stuck in another state other than home. Mm-hmm. And here I was in North Carolina now instead of Maryland, not California, but...
And now you should know better, right?
Yeah. So my friend, she happened to be at work, and she was with the on-call ER nurse, and so she went and talked to him, and he said, you tell her, if it happens again, she must go. But if it doesn't happen again, she should be okay. So I started praying, and all night I was trying to stay as calm as possible, and I made it through the night. We had a really good time. Well, I had as good a time as I could.
And we were facing the distinct possibility that this was the last time we would have you at the beach.
The last time at the beach. At one point, I got to get in the hot tub with my husband, and I remember sitting there thinking, is this the last time I'm going to do something like this with him? And when it was over, you know, we headed back home, and you stayed there at the beach, and the doctor was planning on chemotherapy when I got back. I started researching more, and there was nothing good. Nothing good.
Even the chemotherapy has such terrible side effects that, you know, they layer drug upon drug trying to make sure you don't go into anaphylactic shock and that kind of thing. So there were so many things to be fearful of.
Now, what we had decided, you know, you talked about the no dry bones, was that we were going to do everything possible to help my immune system. So we started juicing right before we went to the beach. We started juicing because I remember having it at the beach too. I couldn't swallow very well, and I couldn't keep things down, so I didn't get a lot. But we started juicing, and I was researching the best juices. And by the time we got home, we were doing, you know, tons of stuff. But we finally found what we thought was the best concoction. It tasted horrible, and started, you know, doing that religiously. Dad and Shannon would juice every night, and I, you know, to this day still juice. And then I started the chemotherapy.
And we have to conclude the show here. So we have brought you to the point where Kathy has been diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, stage 4. They have put on palliative care with enough radiation to keep any more bones, hopefully, from breaking, and just to slow down that process. Getting Your Life in Order, Kathy's journey through cancer, my co-host. We just have one last thing to say, and that is, God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.